The Lord promises us today, do not be afraid because I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Amen. My dear fellow saints, last week, four Shoreland seniors, Abigail, Belle, Kaliska, and Taven, went with their orchestra teacher, Miss Lawson, and Shelley and myself out to Hood River and the Dalles, Oregon, on a mission trip. The week before we arrived, Pastor Lawson and members of Concordia and Bethany Lutheran churches went out into the neighborhoods to put flyers on about 1,000 homes, letting them know that we would be coming a week later to collect food for a local food pantry. When we arrived, like the disciples, we divided into teams of two and began knocking on doors. When people answered, we introduced ourselves, told them that we were from the church collecting food, and then we tried to ask a question. We asked, what advice would you give to a church like ours that's trying to reach out into your community? And a lot of people answered this way, this, what you're doing right here and helping people. Others said that so many people today were so lonely, so doing things that would bring the community together would be fantastic. Others said to have events for the community, whether at the park or at the church. If we were able to, we had a follow-up question of, what do you think people would want to hear and see in a church? One lady answered that question, I want Jesus to be like me, a Jesus who smokes weed. We were out near Portland, so you kind of understand that. But it was also very close to what the way people view God and the way people picture Jesus today. That instead of worshiping the Creator, they create a God, their own kind of God. Instead of believing in the real Jesus being a Savior from their sin, they create a make-believe Jesus who is accepting of sins. Non-Christians do this all the time. But sadly, even we as Christians do this from time to time too. And so today we can learn a lesson from the Greeks who approached Philip with a question. We want to see Jesus. And then Jesus went and told the crowd about the kind of death that he was going to die. And this is important because here we see the real Jesus, not a made-up version of him. In our text, Jerusalem was packed with all kinds of out-of-towners for the Passover festival. Jesus had just entered the holy city on a donkey, and he was greeted like a triumphant king with shouts of Hosanna. And then Jesus went into the temple to worship God. But he couldn't because of all of the chaos in the temple courtyard caused by the animals that were there to be bought for the sacrifice and all the money changers. So Jesus chased out the animals and he overturned the money changing tables. Some Greeks, either Jews from Greece or they were Greek converts to Judaism, that they were in town for the Passover festival. They had heard about this Jesus and all of his miracles and how he taught with authority, and they wanted to see Jesus. And then they heard about the events of Palm Sunday, and they really wanted to see Jesus. So these Greeks approached the disciple with the Greek name Philip and asked, Sir, we would want to see Jesus. Philip doesn't know what to do, so he goes and finds Andrew. And together, they go and talk to Jesus. And then Jesus gives what is at first a very strange answer. He doesn't say anything about setting up an appointment. Instead, he says, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. In other words, Jesus is saying that the time is near, it's going to be only a few days, when he is going to be lifted up on the cross in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. This will be the hour of Jesus' greatest glory. For Jesus did not come into this world to be an object of attention, a hand-shaking politician, or a smiling celebrity. He came to be our Savior, to bear our sins in his body, and then die so that we might live. And it is this Jesus that we need to see. It is this Jesus that the Greeks had traveled hundreds of miles to come to the Passover celebration, and now they wanted to see. Another lady that we met while canvassing said that churches should be less confrontational and be more like Jesus, because Jesus, she said, was never judgmental. This is a common refrain that you're going to hear from unbelievers. They're going to say that Jesus hung out with prostitutes and drunkards. He didn't judge those people. And those who make these kinds of claims conveniently ignore how Jesus met a woman who was caught in the sin of adultery and then did not excuse her sin, but instead said, "Go leave your life of sin." He met with tax collectors and other sinners, but then he told them, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus did not hang out with prostitutes and drunkards. He ministered to them. Afterwards, by God's grace, they were no longer prostitutes and drunkards, because Jesus came to transform them, not to indulge them. Jesus did not come to be accepting, to be our buddy, to smoke weed. He came to call us to repentance, to bring us out of our life of sin, to suffer and then pay the price for that sin, all so that we might believe in him and be saved. But even as Christians, we fall into this trap of trying to create a God of our own making by loving the wrong things and hating the right things. We adore the wrong things and defile the right things. For example, we love sex and then defile the marriage bed. We love a pleasurable life and then kill our unborn children. We love a fun time and then avoid our vocational responsibilities. We love money, but do not have that same kind of love for our neighbor. We hide in the shadows and we love what's done in the darkness. We reject rebuke and we covet flattery. We justify our sin and refuse our Savior. And because of our sinful nature, we don't want to see Jesus, because we believe that Jesus is going to put an end to the fun of our inborn nature. By God's grace, Jesus came seeking us when we were not seeking him. The Holy Spirit has called us to faith, and now we want to be like these same Greeks, and we want to see Jesus. But friends, I'm going to warn you, it is a dangerous thing to want to see Jesus, to find Jesus, and then to follow Jesus. And what I mean by it being dangerous is Jesus uses a farming illustration to teach us. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The kernel of wheat is going to be planted in the ground. There it dies, and then it produces a harvest of wheat. Jesus is using this as an illustration of what's going to happen to him and us. Scripture says that he is the first fruits of all those who will be resurrected. Jesus suffers and he dies. He is planted in the ground, in the tomb, and then 3 days later he arises. He is the first fruits of those who believe in him. And because we believe and follow him, we too will die in him. And then we will be part of that harvest at the resurrection on the last day. Jesus continues, "Anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." When we are creating gods of our own making, when we are loving the wrong things, when we are denying ourselves the right things, then we are in danger of losing the right things. Therefore, we must lose the wrong things, surrender our sins, give up the gods of our imagination, repent and return, and then receive eternal life. This eternal life is a gift. It is a gift that is free to all those who believe, but it is not without a cost. For Jesus said, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, he was riding in as the Lamb of God. Those Greeks and all of the other people in Jerusalem were there selecting their sacrificial lambs so that they could then celebrate the Passover on Thursday. On that same Thursday, Jesus was being prepared to lay down his life on the altar of the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God who was going to die for the sins of the world. This is the real Jesus. He is not accepting of our sins. He's suffering for our sins. He does not hang out with tax collectors and prostitutes and drunkards. He dies for these sinners. He does not allow us to mold him into the kind of God we want. He enters the gates of Jerusalem on Sunday so that he can die outside those same city gates on Friday and then rise from the dead on Sunday morning to be the God-man kind of Savior that we need. And this gift of eternal life is free to all those who believe in Jesus as their Savior. But as I said before, this gift is free, but it does not come without a cost, because this gift is covered in blood. The divinely human blood of the God-man, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God the Father, and the Son of Mary. This bloody gift gives eternal life to all those who accept the real Jesus and believe in him as their Savior from their sin. And then those who accept this gift of eternal life then are also saying that they accept what the life here on earth, a life of following Jesus. And a life of following Jesus means a life of repentance. That means a life of loving the right things and hating the wrong things. And it is Christian for us to also hate things. The kind of things that God hates: sin, death, and the devil. Hate the things that lead you away from Christ, outside of his church, and away from his voice. Hate your sin and repent. Sin hurts us, harms us, and those around us, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin leads to death and eternal death if left unrepentant. So, love the right things. Hate the wrong things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then Jesus admitted, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Of course Jesus' heart is troubled. He knows the kind of death that he is going to die in only a few days. And yet he also knows that it is through this kind of humiliating death that he is going to be able to glorify his Father. And then the Father answered from heaven, "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." Jesus then said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." The Romans weren't the only people who punished others through crucifixion. They were just the people who perfected the torture of crucifixion. In fact, the Roman writer Cicero called it the most cruel and hideous of all tortures. Sometimes the Romans would leave the bodies hanging on the crosses for days to rot. The Romans used crucifixion to force social conformity so that people would know that if they committed a crime, they could very soon be up on that same cross. Jesus was no criminal, and he had done nothing wrong, but he was crucified publicly for everyone to see. And Jesus knew the kind of death that he was going to die. And he was okay with this death being publicized in such a way. He wanted it to be public. He wanted everyone to know that he was dying for everyone. Jesus took the punishment of death and hell for all people so that all people could be drawn to him on that cross and have eternal life. And Jesus draws all people to himself through faith without regard of nationality or ethnicity, status, age, or gender. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done or what you've left undone, no matter how good or bad you feel your life is, Jesus draws you to himself. Jesus draws you to himself whether you have been blessed to be in a church like this for your entire life or whether this is your first time inside this church because someone invited you to worship with them or someone knocked on your door. The Romans meant for death on the cross to be shameful. But there is nothing for us as Christians to be ashamed of when it comes to Jesus Christ, our crucified and resurrected Savior. He was lifted up on that cross so that he could draw us to himself as that Savior. And this, my fellow saints, this is the real Jesus. And by God's grace, we want to keep on seeing this real Jesus. Amen.